Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Billy King, former GM for the Brooklyn Nets, CBS Sports Network draft analyst, and did a show, programming notice, not tonight, it was last night, on replay, Inside College Basketball. But he joins us now on CBS Sports Radio, Tiki and Tierney. Billy, how you doing, man? Thanks for coming back on, man.
I'm doing good, doing really good.
How are you feeling about this draft class, I guess, is the first question I'll ask you, because it's a lot of big men, and we know the NBA is not a lot. It's not about a lot of big men.
Well, it's a good class, and I think, you know, there are going to be some players that are going to be drafted later in the draft, probably middle, the late first, that have a bigger impact. I think everybody's looking at the big guys, and everybody gets intrigued with size and NBA, but you're right, if you watch the finals, they were playing with guys 6'7 and 6'8 out there, and there was no really big guys. But a lot of these big guys in this draft, you know, they can face up. They're different than the Patrick Ewings and the traditional big men, because a lot of these guys face out and get out and shoot the three and play on the perimeter.
Yeah, no, so they're not like Capella down in Houston. They can shoot a little bit, but the game has changed so much, Billy. You know, and I wonder if these kids know that they have to improve their game to be stretch type players, that they have to play around the perimeter, not just on offense, but on defense as well. And at 19, it's hard to think that, because they grew up, you're just big, you're strong, you're going to be superior in all these AAU tournaments you're playing in. Even if you go to college, you're going to be the best big guy there. Do they understand what they're getting into and how the NBA has changed?
Oh, I think they see it, but until they play it, I don't think they really, really understand it, because when you have to switch out and you're guarding Steph Curry, or you switch on to LeBron, it's a different animal. And a lot of them think they know, and like, okay, college, or they will pick and pop. But when they get to the next level, it's a different animal.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. CBS Sports Network draft analyst Billy King joins us here. Now, you played at Duke, and I know you have some bias about your two big
kids.
You're too big, man. Well, at least you'll have a strong opinion about them. Marvin Bagley and obviously Wendell Carter. You start seeing these things, and it's all speculation at this time. We know stories get out. Some people are saying Wendell Carter is going to be better than Marvin Bagley. How do you measure the two against each other?
Well, I think they're very different. Bagley is an unbelievable athlete. He does some things very freakish on the court. His second jump is tremendous. When I say that, like, he'll jump quick, his second jump, a lot of times he's jumping before a guy goes for their first jump on a rebound. Really left-handed dominant, but offensively very gifted. We'll face up and shoot the three. I think his three will get better. Defensively, that's going to need a lot of work. He didn't really provide the defense at Duke, but I think he has the athletic ability to do it. Wendell Carter, to me, I always compare him to, like, it's Buck Williams with a better offense. Goes with two hands to the rebound, the basketball. Can face the floor. Not as agile, mobile, moving as Bagley, but more of a, he's got the body and the physical tools to play down low. I like him a lot. I think having both of them sort of took away from a little bit of each one's game, but I think they both are going to be tremendous at the next level.
Would you have advised him to stay, talking about Carter, would you have advised him to stay in school, or is he making the right move?
Well, I think he's going to be probably a top six draft pick, and so it's hard to tell a kid to stay in school when he's going to get that kind of money. Being a Duke alum, I would have loved him to stay there, because I think, you know, it would have been great. But they've got a bunch of guys coming in next year, so he'd have been doing the same thing playing with other guys. And so I think to get to the next level for him is going to be better, because he'll learn the game faster rather than waiting a year, because they got a recruiting class coming in next year with a bunch of big guys, so he'd be battling for minutes and rebounds with those guys as well.
Yeah, no, it's been interesting how Coach K's philosophy has evolved over the last decade or two decades or so. It used to be you go to Duke, you're there until you graduate. You're not getting to the NBA until he's not going to let you leave. Now it's become a little bit of a one-and-done situation. Do you think that has anything to do, and I don't know if you've had relationship with Coach K or conversations with Coach K about this, but is this a little bit of an age thing? You know, he's getting to the back end of his maybe career, even though he's probably going to stay there until he dies. But you wonder, like, it evolves as you get a little bit older, and not that you're trying to do it easier, but it's interesting. It's just very different from what we've expected from him.
Well, you know what happens nowadays? A lot of these guys talk amongst themselves when they're playing AAU, and so two of them may say, "If you go to wherever you go, I'm going to go with you." And so I think in the recruiting process, Coach K started recruiting guys that, you know, one guy will come and another guy comes, and so then they're going to go, they go pro. And some of the guys that have gone pro, I don't think he expected them to be going pro right away. But I think once they get there and they have success, and everybody starts putting their names in the lottery, the guys start leaving. And so now what has become is players like, okay, I'm going to go to Duke because I can only stay 1 year. I don't have to stay or feel the pressure, have to stay as long, and I think it's just become a product of the college game now. Players look and say, okay, if I go to Duke, we're going to be on TV, going to get exposed, and I can get to the pros quicker, or Kentucky, or Kansas. And I think you're going to find that it's starting to happen to Villanova. If a kid's a good player, Jay Wright's not going to say, no, I don't want you.
Yeah.
But guys are going to want to go to Villanova, and if he's going to get the best players, they're going to leave. And until they change the rules, it's going to start happening more and more. And it's not fair to the kids, and it's not fair to the universities, because the rules have now dictated go to school for 1 year and then go pro.
Yeah,
I've been a big believer, let them go pro, and almost feel like baseball. If you go to college, you stay for 3 years. And anybody wants to go pro, go right away.
Yeah, I agree. The baseball way is the way to go. We're talking to Billy King, who is a CBS Sports Network draft analyst. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because we saw Commissioner Rice's, I guess not really Commissioner, Secretary of State Rice, who ran that that program or that analysis that the NCAA and the NBA put together about how to solve this. And they say exactly, do that. How soon do you think until that gets implemented?
Well, I read where the NBA sent a memo out to teams saying, you know, won't be before probably the 21 draft.
Gotcha.
And everybody's wondering why not right away. I think you got to look at teams that have, you know, either traded picks or have cap situations. This allows teams to sort of plan and know what it's going to be like in 21 draft. If you did it next year, they're going to be teams griping, well, you know, we traded our picks, so we can't get in that draft. And so it gives everybody more time to prepare and plan for it.
I hear you on that. And trading picks and moving around is something that has become, I guess, it's championed and applauded because of what the Boston Celtics have done, what Danny Ainge has done over the years. We just saw this trade come down. The Nets trade for, I love Dwight, he's a good guy, but the game changed underneath him. But it gives them such flexibility. What are the dangers about planning too far ahead with the trades and the expiring contracts and all these things that sometimes work but sometimes don't?
Well, you know, you brought up Boston, and I was part of Brooklyn and doing that deal. And, you know, we had a plan that we were going to trade the picks and we were going to keep spending, and then the plan changed. And, you know, I didn't protect the organization enough. And but so I think if you're going to make trades, you've got to put things in there to protect the organization, so that if the ownership decides we're going to go in a different direction, the organization is protected a little bit. And, you know, if you go too far out, you know, it can hurt the franchise. And, you know, Sean Marks, I give him credit. He's done a heck of a job of maneuvering around that and creating space and trading players, getting picks. And so he's been very creative with the hand he was dealt.
Yeah, he has. And I think, you know, when you look at the two situations here, this is local to us, Brooklyn and New York. Which one is more desirable to go to right now? Is it Brooklyn with their now flexibility? They can bring in a couple of matches, or is it New York?
Well, I think they both have put themselves in position now where they are sort of rebuilding, which everybody says you can't do in New York. I think the Knicks are going to, especially with Porzingis being hurt, they're going to be patient, and then they'll have cap space, and they'll get another good pick next year. Brooklyn will have their pick next year. They're going to have cap space. And then it's going to come down to which one do you think has a better chance of winning. Right now, having you got to say Porzingis comes back, but you know he's proven that he can play in this league and be a sort of a franchise guy. So Brooklyn now is going to be looking for that guy to build with. But I think they both the thing about it, when I first came to the league as a coach back in 97, or yeah, not actually yeah, 93 with the Pacers, there were certain cities that guys wanted to play in, L.A., you know, New York, Boston, that, you know, they were going to go to the big cities. Now guys look and say, where do I have the best chance of winning? Whether it's Oklahoma City, okay, I'll go there, or it's Cleveland. And it's not so much the city you're, the big cities that everybody fought for. It's more of where can I win? Because the money is so big, it doesn't matter as much. It's more where can I win?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Last question for you, Billy. Talking to Billy King, CBS Sports Network draft analyst. The Kawhi Leonard situation, I mean, who knows what's really going on because Kawhi himself isn't speaking, but he's been linked to New York. Well, I don't know if that's Brooklyn or if that's the Knicks. How would you handle that if you were the Spurs GM? Because clearly you're not giving him up for nothing. And just because he says, I want to go to Lakers or I want to go to New York, you're not going to say, okay, Kawhi, go to, you know, we're going to trade for you. How would you handle that?
Well, you know, I knowing Greg Popovich, he met with him, they said reports were yesterday. And I think Pop, one, probably was very direct with him and said, do you want out? Can we resolve this? And if he says he wants out, they're going to get the best deal for them. And there are going to be some teams out there like Sam Presti did when he took Paul George and took a chance and said, okay, I'm going to take a chance and trade for him. And hopefully we win enough, he'll want to stay. But I think San Antonio is going to do what's best for them. They're going to say, Lakers, if you want him, you're going to have to give us, you know, Ingram and Ball and Kuzma. You know, and they're going to, if the Knicks you want it, you're going to have to, you know, put Porzingis in your picks. They're going to put the ransom out there because at the end of the day, they're not going to do a deal that hurts their franchise just to help Kawhi. He has the leverage because he can say, I'm going to opt out next year and I won't stay. But a lot of times guys go places, they win, they end up staying. So I think San Antonio is going to try to, you know, hold it out there. They're going to try to get two teams that he wants to go to bidding against them, whether it's the Lakers and Knicks or Lakers and the Clippers, and say, okay, if I'm him calling the Lakers, say, well, the Clippers have got a good offer, you better up at the ante, up the ante. It's like Brooklyn and New York, and we're going for Carmelo. You know, Denver said Mozgov had to be in the deal, which is kind of amazing now, you're looking at his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, where he's going to go to Brooklyn. And Knicks put Mozgov in, they were able to get him. So you want to get two teams that really want him bidding against him, and then, you know, you're going to get the best deal from the two, from one of the two.
Good insight. Billy King, I appreciate you joining me.
Anytime.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.